Good morning, Texas. This is Mike Paulson from North Dakota. Again, this is program number 144. We just have a few more to go, but we are leaving you with the website, www.scatteredchristians.org, where you will find everything and anything regarding the truth of a rightly divided King James Bible, sermons, hymns played on piano, even find pictures on there you might find interesting. All sorts of Bible studies. You just get a pen and pencil and get yourself a King James Bible. Speaking of King James Bibles this morning, I'm going to give you a list here of some things. Now, again, you could get under the website. You type in under scatteredchristians.org/KJV subtle changes.html. And you'll come to a page that's got some changes that are being made even within King James Bibles. The word is subtle, S-U-B-T-L-E, subtle, is what it looks like. And there's some interesting things that are going on today. We know that in Amos chapter 8, verse 11, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it." That's a tribulation verse, folks. That's being referred to the tribulation. That is a warning that one of these days, and it's getting harder and harder and harder, even though the list gets longer and longer and longer of all the Bibles for all sorts of different kinds of people, all sorts of different ages, all sorts of different types. I'm telling you, the list is gargantuan. I just did a Google, as they call it, for King James Bibles. Oh, I'm telling you, it's from everywhere from little kids to old people to different jobs and different types of people, different shapes, different colors. It's just, oh, come on, people. And what we're talking about here is we're talking about a King James Bible text with tons of pictures that are appropriate to the person reading it. You and I both know that anything in there, footnotes, Greek references, distract you from the text. I have available, and they're still not terribly difficult to get from a place called Local Church Publishers, or you can get them from me. I've just got a couple left here. King James Bibles, nothing but text. Nothing but text. No footnotes, no side notes, no list of so-called archaic words, no story of where the Bible came from, the history of the Bible. Those people that have those things in there are not telling the truth at all. Anything with pictures distracts you. There's nothing. We have the 1611 text. Now, I'm going to show you here this morning some of the changes that are being done within the King James Bibles. I've already talked about NIV. I've already told you the verses that are missing, some of them. I've already mentioned some of the bigger doctrines that are changed. I've told you that some of the verses that God had available at one time are now just the opposite. So apparently God was so wrong that he had to change his mind totally the other way. That's just insane thinking. But I'm going to read you here a list of things, and this is not the complete list, by all means, but these are some of the more important ones. Capital S, referring to spirit, of course, is left off the word spirit, which truly would affect the deity of Christ, correct? This is in a King James Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, 41 to 38, Judges chapter 3, verse 10, chapter 6, verse 34, chapter 11, verse 29, 13, 25, 14, 6, and verse 19, 15, 14. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 6 to 10, chapter 11, verse 6, chapter 16, verses 13, 14, chapter 19, verse 20, 23, 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 2, 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 12, chapter 22, verse 24, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 16, 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 1, 2 Chronicles chapter 18, verse 23, chapter 20, verse 14, chapter 24, verse 20, Job chapter 33, verse 4, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 13, Isaiah 48, 16, 59, 19, 61:1, 63 verses 10, 11, and 14, Ezekiel 11, chapter 5, and 24, and of all places, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. And that would change from the Spirit, capital S, referring to God, of course, the Spirit of God, to a small s. It could be man's spirit. Okay, so there's one. This is within King James Bibles now. The word hoft is changed to hocht in 2 Samuel chapter 8, verse 4, and 1 Chronicles chapter 18, verse 4. What's the difference? Hocht, H-O-C-K-E-D, which is tied up. And hoft, H-O-U-G-H-E-D, means cut to the hamstring. There's also a change in Joshua 11, verse 6 and 9. But it's not so much what it means, it's the fact that it is different. Two different words. Here we go. They take the letter K out of the word public, and publicly, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 19, it's a modern spelling. Why do we need to update the modern spellings? Do they tweak a few other things under the guise, the subtleness of we need to upgrade some of our spellings? Do they change anything else in there? I'll show you. Here's one in Acts chapter 18, verse 28, and chapter 20, verse 20. They take the K off the word music. Here's a big one, Luke chapter 2, verse 11. They take the word Savior, S-A-V-I-O-U-R. They change it to Savior, S-A-V-I-O-R. 7, the number 7 means completion. And 6 letters means the number of man. So there's a difference there. Savior, S-A-V-I-O-U-R, compared to S-A-V-I-O-R. Anybody can be a Savior, S-A-V-I-O-R. You save somebody from tripping, you save somebody from falling into a lake, you're a Savior. But are you the Savior, S-A-V-I-O-U-R? And then here's one, how about the word throughly, to thoroughly? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17, throughly means to go inside as well as the outside. Thoroughly means outside only. There's a difference. Now, in Joshua 19:2, they changed the word or, O-R, to the word and. That's a change. Jeremiah 31:16, ye to he. Matthew 26:39, further to farther. 2 Chronicles 33:19, Isaiah 6 and 7, takes the word sin, changes it to sins, plural. Now, you should know the difference by now between the difference between sin and sins. So you really can't just throw an S on there and think it's the same thing here. Numbers 20, verse 14, travail is turned to travel. In Deuteronomy 17:20, changes his to this. Really. Here's one, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 9, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, changes ensample to example. Well, that's very important. We can have an ensample to show us, guide us how to live, but an example is somebody that we should imitate. Paul is our ensample, he's not our example. 1 John chapter 2, verse 11, darkness is changed to blindness. Galatians chapter 3, 5, ministereth to you the Spirit, change to ministereth to you in the Spirit. That's a big difference. Somebody ministers to you the Spirit, which you do with Christ, teachings through Paul. Or somebody who ministers to you in the Spirit, meaning they say they are in the Spirit, and then they will pass on what they think should be done. So there's a difference, ministereth to you the Spirit, or ministereth to you in the Spirit. Now the number is about 800. English spelled words have been changed to American spelled words. And there is a difference there. By the way, this isn't my own private study. The references used here, the Oxford University Press, Cambridge University Press, Thompson Chain Reference, Old Schofield, and Strong's Concordance that shows us different verses, having nothing to do with the Greek. Now, the place we need to go to, and this is in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 19, and this is what's going on here. Verse 19, now there was no smith, meaning, you know, a blacksmith type of thing. Now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel. For the Philistine said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. So it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan. Here's Israel. They let the enemy build the weapons and build the swords, but they didn't do anything like that. Philistines were the ones making the weapons, so if you wanted a weapon, you had to get it from the Philistines. You had to get it from your enemy. So if this modern gospel, these modern Bibles, are not the sword of the Spirit, and yet we have people that have stopped making a King James text, which both Oxford and Cambridge have stopped making, if I understand correctly, over the years, that they're a pretty tough Bible to find. A clean, simple, unadulterated text from a 1611 Bible, which even had spelling changes made. The King James Bible even had the Apocrypha in the middle of it. And then people say, well, if you've got a legitimately 1611 Bible, you should have an Apocrypha. No, the Apocrypha was just another guide inside the Bible, just like King James Bibles have today. You've got all this other junk in there. There's reasons why the Apocrypha is not scriptures. I have 11 of those. I suppose if you want to look that up on my website, type in Apocrypha, if you can spell it correctly, and you'll see why the Apocrypha has nothing to do with the Word of God. It's no different than a Bible history or a list of this or whatever inside your Bible notes. That's all that was. So there's the first half of this morning. We're just showing you that I'm telling you, the King James Bibles, even they're starting to get tweaked with now. They're going to get harder and harder to find. The second half of our program here this morning, I'm going to just kind of read to you a list of teachings that will and must be available during the tribulation. And this is what's going to be taking place. The sad thing is you're going to recognize a lot of these things are being taught by your pastors today. However, this is not true for the teachings today. These are tribulation teachings, tribulational statements that you'll have to do or else you won't endure to the end and you'll be kaputzed. Okay, here we go. First of all, Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Is your pastor teaching you Paul's teachings or just an occasional one? If he's not teaching what he should be teaching about Paul, he dropped in a little Timothy here and there. No, he's preaching another gospel then. He needs to be preaching Paul. Here we go. You will have to love and put up with the brethren. I know you say you do now, but no, you will have to. No ifs, ands, or buts. You will have to love and put up with the brethren, or else you're done. You'll have to love and put up with your pastor. Well, you all seem to do that nowadays, unless the guy's teaching you the truth. If the guy tells you, no, you can't sing that particular song in church or whatever, then you get kind of mad at him. But see, in the tribulation, that won't be a problem, because the music that will be going on then will be just all this junk that's going on today. So anyway, still, if you have a problem with your pastor, you won't be able to have a problem with him during the tribulation. You'll have to obey him. You'll have to make sure his life has joy. Hebrews chapter 13, 7 and 17, look him up. You will have to know the truth for your time, for your dispensation. You will have to have peace with all men. You will have to. You will have to have a holy conversation. That's a walk. You'll have to walk holy. Physical, outside, walk holy. And people are going to see you walking that Christian. It's not going to do any good to put a white collar on or a certain costume that says you're a Christian. Your conversation, your talk, your day-to-day life will have to be holy. So you can forget the collars and stuff. But you'll have to have that holy conversation. You will have to stay on the straight and narrow path. If you get off at Christ or rebuke, he'll chasing you back on, and you better hurry up and get on there in case he's coming back that day, because you don't want to be ashamed when he comes. But that's that straight and narrow path. You will have to have an advocate, because he'll have to be there sticking up for you. But right now, Christ paid for everything. We don't need an advocate now. But you will during the tribulation. And if you don't have that advocate, you are in eternal trouble. You will have to have a different salvation than one that we have available today during this dispensation. That's just, you know, won't do you any good to suddenly put your faith in Christ during the tribulation. Oh, no, I've made it into the tribulation. Oh, I got to put my faith and trust in Christ now. Nope, sorry. That was done when the Gentiles quit wanting the goodness of God. And God cut off those Gentiles, went back to the Jews with the doctrine that Jesus taught to the Jews. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John 3, Acts chapters 1 to 8, and Hebrews, James, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and Jude. That will be your doctrine then. Your salvation will be based on obeying the commandments, keeping his faith, and not taking the mark. And the mark is not a mark of the Christian, even though your modern Bibles tell you that. Okay, you'll have to confess all your sins, 1 John 1, 9. All of them. You can't miss one. You will have to have the Spirit of God upon your flesh, Acts chapter 2. You will have to know things that are different than what you're hearing today from me. Some of you folks are going to be all ready for the tribulation because you've already been taught this stuff and you're living the tribulational doctrine, if you are truly. You will have to suffer. Well, Paul says we have to suffer, but the suffering during the tribulation is a lot worse. It's like Christ suffered. Nobody today has suffered like Christ has. Less us those people down in South America that crucify themselves with nails and the whole bit. Well, can you imagine one of those guys when he dies and he stands before the Savior that actually did die, and he's going to tell them, "Well, I did it too." You think that's going to impress God? Crazy. You will have to experience His holiness. Peter talks about that. You will have to partake of His divine nature. You'll have to have that unction. You'll have to have that anointing. You'll have to go to the throne and ask Him for grace. And you're going to have to deserve it in order to receive it, or you don't get it. That's in Peter. You will have to know all the correct answers in all your conversations with people. Your prayers will be able to be hindered based on your relationship with your wife in the home. So yeah, if you're having trouble now, you both make the tribulation, which probably you are, then you've got to get along. You cannot let her hinder your prayer life. During the tribulation, you will have to have the kind of music that pleases the Antichrist. Nebuchadnezzar tells us about that. You will have a hard time with crafts and craftsmen during the tribulation. Jeremiah warned us about that. I'll tell you this, you'll have a hard time finding a job. The sound of the millstone will be gone. Be a huge unemployment. And if anyone even exists by then, you'll have a hard time finding a church. Oh, excuse me. You'll have a hard time finding a church that teaches the truth, if there even will be any. You will have a hard time knowing what the bridegroom says. According to Jeremiah, the voice of the bridegroom will be gone. According to Jeremiah, you'll have a hard time with joy because there will be none. You'll have a hard time with gladness. There will be none. You'll have a hard time with mirth. There won't be any. You'll have to endure to the end, or else you won't make it. You'll have to not be ashamed at His coming. You just can't be ashamed. It was Jesus. Oh, no, He came. I didn't think He would. I was hoping He wouldn't, at least not today. One of those kind of things, you know. You will actually have to resist Satan because he will be on this earth walking about seeking whom he may devour. You will have to actually stand against Satan, some of you. In Peter, you will have to stay away from the pollutions of the world. You can't go back to them. See, today in the dispensation of grace, we're working amongst the pollutions of the world. We have to. Christ takes our soul and separates us from our dirty flesh, but we are still amongst the pollutions of the world. Tribulation, you stay away from them. You cannot get involved with the pollutions of this world. If you do, your life will be worse than it ever had been before. You will have to be careful not to be tricked by a false spirit. There will be a bunch of them. You will have to be careful not to be tricked by false Christs and false preachers. Preachers of the devil, 2 Corinthians 11. Paul already talks about that. Don't be tricked by these false guys. You will have to be careful as you worship the wrong Christ. Acts talks about that. And this won't bother you because you already do it. You'll have to ignore the teachings of Paul's epistles. This is what you'll have to do. But chances are, I'm thinking during the tribulation, that's probably when the preachers will start preaching that stuff. Because life will be so rough, you'll have to have grace. But you don't realize you got to pray and beg to come to his throne so he can give you grace. And even that grace doesn't show up until he shows up. That's amazing stuff. What's going on in our churches today? They're preparing you for the tribulation. That's what they're doing. Just like the Message Bible says, when you take the signet to show that you're a Christian, you will get what God has coming to you. And I'll tell you what, you will get what God has coming for you. In order for you to find out what God has coming to you, you're going to have to listen to a King James Bible, Rightly Divided. You'll need to listen to the goodness of God today, because tomorrow it'll be the severity of God. Back to his Jews. Which would you rather have? The grace of God from the dispensation of grace, the foundation being set by Paul as the only apostle? Or would you rather go with the other guys and make everybody happy with your church and get everything just hunky-dory so you have such a good time, not realizing, of course, that there will come a time with these teachings I just showed to you, I just told to you, they will have to take place, or you won't make it out of the tribulation. And you'll be ashamed when he comes. You'll be part of the dinner. That's what that says in Revelation 19. And before we finish off this program here, I'm going to add a little. We've got about 7 minutes left here. Let's add a few minutes here. Let's take a quick look at that Apocrypha that I mentioned earlier, because I do know some people say, well, it's not a King James Bible unless it has the Apocrypha in it, or that's part of the Bible. No, it's not. And here's why. This is that Apocrypha. This is taken from my website, scatteredchristians.org, and I do have a rather large PowerPoint presentation page. I still haven't figured out how to put sound to each slide, so all these presentations are just visual only. They have these charts that pop up, but they're self-explanatory. They're not a big deal. So if you want to get in there, go to that PowerPoint presentation page, just click on that little picture in the front page of the website, and you'll have more than enough to sit and click and watch as you go. The one on the Apocrypha, here's just a small segment of it. These are reasons why the Apocrypha isn't in the Bible. It's not part of the Scriptures at all. Number one, not one of the Apocryphal books is written in the Hebrew language, which was alone used by the inspired historians and poets of the Old Testament. Number two, none of the Apocryphal writers laid claim to inspiration anyway. Three, the Apocryphal books were never acknowledged as sacred Scriptures by the Jews. They were the custodians of the Hebrew Scriptures. The Apocrypha was written before the New Testament. In fact, the Jewish people rejected and destroyed the Apocrypha after the overthrow of Jerusalem in 70 AD. Number four, the Apocryphal books were not permitted among the sacred books during the first four centuries of the real original Christian church. Number five, the Apocrypha contains fabulous statements, fabulous not in a good way, but just in a wild and crazy way, which not only contradict the Scriptures, but themselves. For example, in the two books of Maccabees, Antiochus Epiphanes is made to die three different deaths in three different places. Number six, the Apocrypha includes doctrines in variants for various verses within the Bible. Let's go another slide here. Here are some verses that were taken from the Apocrypha translation. Here, let's see here. If the devil or an evil spirit troubles anyone, they can be driven away by making a smoke of the heart, liver, and gall of a fish, and the devil will smell it and flee away and never come again. Is that what you want here? All sorts of reincarnation is in Solomon. Suicide is in Maccabees. Purgatory, aha, so this is where they get purgatory, is in 2 Maccabees. So, yep, there's things. Anyway, number seven, it teaches immoral practices such as lying, suicide, assassination, and magical incantation. Number eight, no Apocrypha book is referred to in the New Testament, whereas the Old Testament is referred to hundreds of times. Number nine, they were never quoted or alluded to by Jesus Christ or any of the apostles. The sermons in the book of Acts, which outline Jewish history, do not include any apocryphal events. Number 10, many of the apocryphal books contain historical, geographical, and chronological errors. Number 11, their literary style is legendary and fantasy. Some stories are even grotesque and demonic. But then again, if you look at a Message Bible today, there's some pretty gross stuff in there that people seem to accept as Scripture. So maybe folks are just looking for another Apocrypha to pop along here. Number 12, they lack the power and distinctive elements of the Word of God. Well, let's see here. What else we got on this page? All sorts of things here. These are the Forgotten Book of Eden. Oh, let's see here. The Sibylline Oracles, the Gospel of Thomas, so the Doubting Thomas. He supposedly wrote a book. That's baloney, of course. Here, let's see. The Book of Enoch, the Book of Jasher, the Books of Adam and Eve. Oh, there's some hot books, I'll bet, there to read. Slavonic Life of Adam and Eve, excerpts from the Gospel of Mary. Marvelous stuff, don't you think? Anyway, they're just a quick run-through of the Apocrypha, why it's not part of anything. It's just another one of those dead things that they put between the Scriptures, just like they have in the Bibles today, even in the King James Bible. They've got Bible history, definitions, they've got maps, they've got the archaic words listed, all sorts of things. The history of the Bible, they haven't got a clue where their Bible came from. It's all Catholic history and how the King James came from the Catholic. It's not true. It's just not true at all. I do have on that website, on the presentation page, actually, a chart of where both lines of Bibles came from. The history of the King James Bible can be traced back to Antioch, and the history of all the modern Bibles are traced back through Gerhard Kittel, Hitler, Jerome, Catholic Church, all the way back to a guy named Origen in Alexandria. That's all available, and it's all documented. Feel free to get on there and just do your own studies, do your own search. Well, that takes care of Thursday. We've got one more program left this week, and then we have Sunday program, and then Monday, Tuesday. Don't be afraid to click on to scatteredchristians.org and look around. Find some things to study. Find some things to look at. Find some simple sermons and simple subjects to help you understand the simplicity of Christ and the simplicity that a King James Bible has if you just rightly divide that thing. And everybody thinks Paul was nuts and he was mad. He went through a lot of grief to tell us about this Bible. And now we have it in our hands. If you don't have one, let me know. And we'll send you one. I guess I've got a few left. So let's listen to some music for a few minutes. I'll play the piano for a few minutes here, and then we'll get on. We'll see you tomorrow, and then the big weekend.